What it is a terrific collaboration between the state, the district, the Springfield Education Association, and Empower Schools, an organization I'm involved in, to try to say, how do we all work together rather than kind of butt heads over how to help students in some of the most challenged circumstances in the state, really, chiefly in the Springfield middle schools and starting next year at High School of Commerce as well. How do we help the educators in those buildings to accelerate success for those students? And what makes the zone so different is it's really built to be a place where we can expedite change and empower educators. The expedite change piece is, you know, there's a tight focus just on those schools. There's a board made up of both local folks, such as the mayor, the superintendent, the vice chair, Chris Collins, or past vice chair of the Springfield School Committee, but also some independent civic folks, such as John Davis from the Davis Family Foundation, Beverly Holmes, James Morton, people known to the community, and me. I'm the only person basically not from Springfield. And the idea is this board is tightly focused on this, and our approach to the whole thing really is empower the teachers and the principals in each building, give them all the opportunities to pull the levers that matter for kids' success on schedule, on curriculum, on who's added to the team going forward, on how the budget's spent and so forth, and then, you know, hold them accountable ultimately. And so we are encouraged to see some of the schools really moving ahead nicely. We've also been able to attract some wonderful new talent to Springfield to help us deal with schools that were the most challenged, because people really want to take on the hardest challenges in America and take on a, you know, more aggressive approach that really in the end is about educators helping kids overcome disadvantage.
Now, this involves just the middle schools in Springfield, correct?
Yes. Initially, the group of schools were six middle school campuses, nine actual schools, because a couple of them had been divided, like Van Sickle and Chestnut, into different schools within the same building. And then this past fall, the Springfield Public School System asked us whether we could also include the High School of Commerce starting in July of 17, which has also, you know, had some challenges and been has been some pressure from the state to do something, you know, to help accelerate the improvement. So that will also be joining in. So it's about 4,000 middle schoolers, and then Duggan has a little bit of a high school, and now High School of Commerce.
And what are some of the innovations that have been introduced at these schools?
Well, I think all of these dimensions matter, and what's great is each school is its own story. So, you know, you can't say we're not doing this top down. This is bottom up. So each school's taking its own path. But for example, all of them operate more hours than they used to, and it's a good deal for teachers. They're paid a stipended amount more, so it's, you know, put some more resources into their pockets, which they appreciate, and if you're asking them to do more, they should get paid more. But it also means that students have more time in the classroom, more time for a well-rounded education. Teachers have more time to raise their skills to teach the high standards we seek, so more time is an example. Some of the schools are doing some really cool things using technology to really enable student learning. At a couple of the schools, they're using a nationally visible new tool for schools in Massachusetts to do it called Teach to One, where literally each kid's getting the math work each day that is at their level. Some kids are two or three grades behind the grade they're in because that's where they're really at. Some of the kids are two or three grades ahead of the grade they're in because they're capable of it. So it's a real, there's still math teachers in the classroom. These math teachers welcomed this. That was their choice to do it. But they're spending far less of their time giving the same lecture to all 25 students each day and far more time supporting individual students and groups of students at the level they're really at. So lots of innovations like that. I think most excitingly, though, a sense in each building that the teacher leadership team elected by the teachers, you know, and the principal have designed a plan that makes sense for that school, and it's different for each one.
Are we beginning to see the turnaround results reflective in the student test scores? Because that's how ultimately this is going to be judged, whether we like it or not, right? Is based on the standardized tests.
Absolutely, and we set an initial goal that was real simple, which is the state has something called a growth measure, which is whether students are keeping up with students with similar past test scores, or gaining, you know, relative to them, or losing. And our first goal is just to ensure that all of the schools are at least not losing further ground for students who are already, you know, on average behind. We set a 2-year goal of that. None of the schools made it in the first year. I think a number of them probably will in the second year, at least a few, hopefully a number. Hopefully more than that. That's a modest goal, but a hard one, given where we were, you know, starting from as a collectively. So we are going to also develop a more robust approach. We've been measuring things like what's something called Net Promoter Score, whether teachers, students, and parents in a school would recommend this school to another parent, teacher, or student. I think that's a pretty important measure. It's in more measures the intangibles, and I'm excited that a couple of the schools already have very positive Net Promoter Score among parents. That is, parents say, if asked by another parent, they would encourage them to go to the school. And sometimes that's, you know, not just because of, you know, test scores, as important as those are. It's also because they feel the spirit of effort. They see the more hours. They see the more enrichment opportunities. They see how dedicated the teachers and principal are. So, you know, we're going to try to look a little more holistically, but I have no question the state expects all of us to find ways to help kids who've historically struggled on these basic measures of math and English to do better on that. And, you know, I'm proud of how hard all those educators are working every day to deliver on that.
And parental buy-in, community buy-in is an important part of the success here, right?
Absolutely. And one of the wonderful things is this is such a deep partnership with the Springfield Public Schools Superintendent of Warwick. You know, far from seeing this as, you know, a problem, saw this as an opportunity to do more of the things he believes in that he would have liked to have had as when he was a principal. And so it's a terrific spirit of that in that regard. These are all neighborhood assigned schools, or almost all. A couple of them are magnet, but they're mostly really neighborhood assigned schools. And so folks in the communities have been in the buildings, have been involved. One of the newer efforts, you asked me earlier about innovation, we have brought in, for example, a new person to help build out a new program at one of the schools. He's done a, I think, really great job on reaching out to the community to really engage them deeply. So I'm encouraged that folks see that difference. But I also think part of the idea here is, you know, the job of parents should be to do the right thing with their kids outside the school day and so on. The job of the schools, all of us collectively working on it, should be to have schools that rise to the occasion. So we want the parents involved, but most of them probably barely know the difference because these are still Springfield Public Schools. You know, what's changed is how we're driving for improvement, not, you know, anything else. These are, you know, SPS locally zoned schools.
Now, there's legislation, and I understand it, that would allow communities to create school empowerment zones elsewhere in Massachusetts. Tell me about that.
You know, that's right. I think people have been really encouraged to see both signs of real gains at these schools, as well as just a rare spirit of collaboration. Let's be honest, last year in this state, there was a very divisive ballot initiative about charter schools. And, you know, it felt at times like it's, you know, Hatfields and McCoys, people throwing bricks at each other, even while everyone allegedly caring about, you know, what helps kids succeed. You know, in nearby Holyoke, there's been a state takeover, I think under a challenging set of circumstances. But there, too, you know, you have a little bit of the dynamic of, you know, state, you know, having to step in. And what people really like is that Springfield's a partnership. It's both the city, you know, the district and the state working together. It's both the union, you know, and some fresh blood, everybody throwing in. And so the question is, can this be done elsewhere? New Bedford, Massachusetts has announced that they want to launch such a zone. They're exploring it publicly. We'll see if that happens. But under current legislation, it can only happen when your school gets, you know, into enough trouble that the state actually gets more authority. And the question is, shouldn't more people step forward, especially with what are called level 3 schools, schools in the bottom 20% of the state? Shouldn't more districts have the chance to step forward and say, we don't want to wait to find out whether it's level 4. We want to charge ahead. Or maybe even level 2 or level 1 schools where, you know, we want to do more innovative and experimental things. So the new legislation would allow both the state and districts to create more of these zones. Similar notion, partnership between the state and the district. The state could do it where schools are really getting into trouble. Districts could do it wherever they think a more rapid innovation would help. What's great is Senator Lesser, the senator representing Springfield, who's seen this, you know, up close, is the Senate sponsor of the legislation. House Chair of Education Alice Peisch is the House sponsor of the legislation. Governor, you know, not only has embraced it, but said he wants to work directly with them. And at a time when we look at our country and all we see is partisanship, kind of nice to see people, you know, across the aisles here in Massachusetts focusing on how to improve schools.